Now, what is not so nice is what's happening on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And in the stock market, equities markets in the United States of America, and Susie Sunshine is here, Susan Schmidt. She is the head of U.S. equities for Aviva Investors. And all I want to say, Ms. Schmidt, is this. Run for the exit!
Please. I don't think that's what Susan's going to say.
Oh, dear. Well, it's sort of what we expect from Roe. So the panic is set in, which means that there's a little bit of concern in certainly from Roe and what's going on in the market. And if you just look at the headlines, it has been a tough week. So we're down, you know, around 6% this week on the major indices. It's been a really rough market this week. The Fed came out. They did raise interest rates up to 2.5%. And everyone was largely expecting that, but Chairman Powell came out, and in his dialogue and Q&A, he wasn't as supportive as the market was hoping for with regards to what they would do on that path for future raises in the interest rate for 2019. And so that gave the market a little bit of a scare. We had the management team from FedEx talking about what's going on the global side, and they suggested that there might be a slowdown in global growth, so that made the market a little bit nervous. And then overall, we still have a little bit of uncertainty around China, and we've got, as I'm sure you've noticed, a bit of news coming out of Washington, which doesn't help. It's not really going to affect the markets, whether we have a government shutdown or not, because that'll be seen as temporary and a pass-through. But that political noise worsens sentiment, and it reminds the market how dysfunctional D.C. is right now.
You saw there was a White House advisor who made news, I think, overseas in Asia, telling an Asian reporter in a major newspaper, I think in Japan, that this whole 90-day deal that they have with China, probably it's going to be very difficult to get it done in that 90 days, and that had some very strong remarks about China stealing the future of U.S. and Europe. It feels as if that one we were hoping sort of had come to, it was, you know, there was some certainty in the future for that, and then you look at those comments and it doesn't seem, it's unsettling again to hear that.
Well, it is, but remember that's the pattern that the market has come to expect with the administration, because we are whipsawed. We have comments about we had a great dinner, President Trump feels very good about his dinner with President Xi, and then 2 days later he's tweeting about being a tariff man, suggesting he's going to be really tough on dealing. And so we've seen this whipsawing of positions back and forth. Things are going to get worked out, things can't possibly get worked out. We aren't really sure, and that ongoing uncertainty, the market's become, I think, used to it, but it's still this unknown. And so we have an idea of what the tariffs might cost. That's very scary, because no one likes to think about rising costs when we are also hearing about signs of global growth slowing. And it might be slowing elsewhere, and that usually means that growth is going to start slowing here. So that is what people are worried about, that's what's coming. We're finally towards the end of this recovery, and we're going to start to see things really level off.
Right. So the global piece is really the one that, if there's a takeaway of this week, that would be the biggest concern to investors.
I think that is really the biggest concern to investors. And the double whammy there is that we got the concern about the global growth really brought into focus by the comments from the FedEx management team on their call. And then the following day, we had Chairman Powell out talking about how the increase in interest rates, and that they, you know, see a reason to continue to increase rates in 2019. And the market really wanted more support than that, and wanted to hear that they were really focused in on what was going on. The fact that the Fed and unanimously voted for the increase this time around, which the market expected, but didn't soften their language as much as they wanted around 2019, on top of commenting that, you know, it's just volatility in the market, that's, you know, irrespective of what's going on in the economy, it doesn't matter, that threw the market off.
All right, so I heard a very wise sage earlier today, so I'm stealing it right now, which is that as we head toward a recession, one of the things, and I know a radio talk show host who warned about this about a year ago, and no one listened to him, but the president has used a lot of tools in the toolbox. When they passed the big budget last year, at the end of last year, almost a little more than a year ago, the big tax change, right?
Sure.
That is a big tax readjustment there. So if the and we're in a booming economy, that's a year ago things were, you know, green arrows up.
Right.
And then they pass this huge tax decrease. And he's yelling at the Fed not to raise the interest rates, which that's another tool in the shed you could have if we do have a recession. You lower interest rates, right? Make money mm-hmm. a little cheaper. When the economy is really going, you can make money a little more expensive. It's a good time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like crazy to me that where we find ourselves now is if we do head into some form of a global slowdown, recession, whatever we want to call it, may just be a natural adjustment. It may not take very long. It won't be like it was 10 years ago.
But it's certainly not going to be like 2008. That's okay. Not what we're talking about. So.
Right. But are there fewer tools in the toolbox to try to ease that?
Well, the magnitude of the tools in the toolbox has lessened. So, you know, that screwdriver isn't quite as precise as it was before, and it's going to take a little more jiggering because the interest rates aren't as high. We can't put as dramatic an impact on it. Taking rates from 2.5% down to zero isn't the same as taking rates from 5% down to zero. So, obviously, less magnitude. On a relative basis, we can still drop rates, you know, 30%, 50% if we needed to. But that was the important thing for the Fed, to start increasing rates and not leave them at zero. They needed to have something that they could work with. The other thing that normally the markets would look to and say, okay, well, this is a bright light and this will help soften as we go into a slowing economy, would be government spend. And so there's been a lot of attention paid to what's going on with the defense bill. Long ago, it seems, there was talk of an infrastructure spending plan. But people are worried about the size of the deficit, the budget, and that dysfunction in Washington. So this time around, the market isn't really looking to government spend to help out. They look to the private sector, and they're really looking at businesses, trying to figure out how businesses are going to handle and adjust to the shift.
Help us put this in perspective, because I think these last few weeks, and maybe even this year, if you're looking at your 401k, can look a little bit frightening, or certainly not what you'd hope for. But we've had this great period of expansion. The economy has done very well for a very long period of time now. And you've talked to us before about a soft landing and how this might just be slowing down in terms of growth, but is that healthy for this economy overall to do that after this period of almost unprecedented growth?
Go in ebbs and flows, right? They run, and that's why we have the Fed using that interest rate to help keep it from getting too hot and then help spur activity and keep it from getting too cool when they drop interest rates. So what we're having now is a natural progression of the economic life cycle where it's not hyper growth all the time. We've had a nice, slow, steady growth and recovery session here. We have costs going up. We're at full employment. You know, labor costs are going to start to increase. We've seen some signs of raw materials increasing, which means profitability is going to get pressured. And that's what the market is looking at and saying, I value companies based on their profitability. If the profits are going to get lowered, should I lower the price for them? And I'm anticipating into the future what's going to happen.
We learn something here every day. There's like some little inside that only the really good people who mm-hmm. do this know mm-hmm. that none of the rest of us know, and you never hear on CNBC. Because at the CNBC, they're still looking into the camera, turning one shoulder at you and telling you about how fabulous something is.
With very slicked hair.
Yeah, very slick. I don't understand what's going on. And still white ties. Everybody looks like Gordon Gekko's niece or nephew. But that's a really interesting thing, because that's what you do. I mean, you look for companies to figure out what, you know, where they're going to find their profitability. And that's basically a CFO trick you just taught us right there, which is pretty good.
That's what investors are going to look for, and this is where we're going to see companies that are able to differentiate themselves, because they're going to be better operators. They're better at managing their businesses when it comes to rising costs. A lot of business teams have not had to confront this kind of environment for multiple years now. They've had cheap, zero-cost debt. You know, raw material costs have been the same or falling, and it's been easy to get labor. So all of that has changed. We're going to see companies react to that differently, and this is, we have had a great run. So, Anna, you are right in recognizing that since 2008, we've had a really nice progression of upward movements in our 401ks, in our investments, because the market has been trending upwards. We haven't had a correction in quite some time. We're having one now. It's a tough period because we're in a void right now of both news. We don't have any significant economic data coming out, and we don't have any liquidity in the market because
like
everyone's on
news,
holiday.
When she says news, it means something different than when we
say
news. When you go, there's no news. She like, means that the earnings aren't being reported. And when we say there's news, we mean Trump just tweeted something.
He's got something on fire.
All right, I got 30 seconds left. What should investors look at to hedge right now?
Well, right now, don't panic. That key factor, the void that I just talked about, no liquidity in the market. Right now, the market is not recognizing the underlying strength. If anything, we've overcorrected to the downside, just letting off steam and a lot of emotional trading here as people panic, just wanting this year to be over and wanting to get out of the way of it. So I would say look to the longer term. Be careful on trading during this period because, again, not a lot of liquidity, not great pricing because you don't have a counterpart there. So things are being overly penalized and buyers just aren't stepping in.
All right, there you go.
Good advice. All right.
Thank you very much. Susie Sunshine,
thanks,
as she's
guys.
Known here. Susan Schmidt, as she's known everywhere on the planet Earth. Thank you.